morning. Yes, can you hear me? I don't need a mic, right? All right. So even as this morning when I was walking through the church and looking at this, I felt like I want to go back to Sunday school. I felt like I wanted to register at Quack and be part of this Quack and not be a volunteer, but be a child. And in fact, yesterday when I was here helping with setting up, I was dancing and singing as the song was going on, and that made me bring memories of my vacation Bible school back at home. As you could see, what I'm wearing is a kurta. A kurta is from India. It's a traditional wear. That's all I know. I don't know any more further about this. I know it's from India, and it's a traditional wear. And I'm proud to be an Indian. Praise God for that. The sermon series that's going on now is called The Gospel-Shaped Mercy. But today we're going to look at peace, the word peace, shalom. Shalom is a word that the Jews use to greet each other, saying peace. Peace be unto you. Even the Muslims, when they wish each other, they say peace be unto you. So the shalom is a Hebrew word that was used for peace. This morning when I was walking and coming to church with a cold, breezy air on my face and my nose being frozen and ears being frozen, as I keep walking to church and I see the community and the surrounding of people, the Lord reminded me that the people do not have peace. They are not experiencing the peace that you and I can experience through Christ. I have divided peace into three sections. Number one is the origin of peace. Number two is the opposition of peace. Number three is the outcome of peace. Let me take you on a journey from the Old Testament to see where this peace was destroyed. When we look at the Old Testament, as we just finished the series, The Paradise Lost. Sin came through Adam and Eve because they disobeyed God. I'm not going to go too deep into it. But sin vandalized peace over there. And because of that, when you open the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, Genesis starts with peace. And Revelation, it ends with peace. And all that's in between, when you open and see, it is full of war, chaos, and so many other things that I could list out from it. Let's look at origin of peace. Jesus Christ is our shalom, our peace. If we read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, it says, remember that at the time you were separated from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. What can we see in this? There is separation that is happening. There is no connection. They were not part of God's promises. There was no hope prior to knowing Christ. And if you see, because of sin, there has been spiritual breakdown, which caused enmity between God and humanity because of sin. Then comes creational breakdown, which happens because humans exploited creation. And then it comes down to the structural breakdown where social structures, families, governments are compromised. And then you could see the relational breakdown. We exploit, harm, manipulate, and idolize one another. And then you could see individual breakdown. We experience guilt, shame, fear, anxiety. Let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. When you were dead in your sins, In the uncircumcised of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. What a mighty God we serve. He forgave us all our sins. Having concealed the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it on the cross. As you can see, this is the power of cross. God could not take it anymore, that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross, a painful death on that cross just for you and for me. What a powerful thing Jesus could do for you and for me to take away all our sins. It reminds me of this hymn, on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and shame. You and I can boldly go to the presence of God and lay everything at his feet. He is ready to take all your burdens, all your pain, all your shame, all your suffering. And that is the reason he came on the cross. It's for you and for me. And 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, we got to confess the sins. And then he says, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us and purify us and sanctify us and make us like him. But if we confess our sins, do you know we deserve nothing but death? Who are we that God is so mindful of us, thinking about us? We have a Father who never sleeps nor slumber, but watch over us day and night. That's a beautiful promise that he says, I will never even let your foot slip. Because God loves you so much. The very purpose that you and I are seated here is because God wants to fulfill something through you and me. And that is the purpose that we are seated here this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who made the two groups one and had destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. The moment Jesus died on the cross, the temple veil was torn into two because Jesus wanted to restore his relationship with us back again and build a relationship between God and man was restored there after the veil tore into two and Jesus died on the cross. The first was origin of peace. As we move to the opposition of peace, as you look at the word sin, you can see the letter I. The problem here is I. James chapter 4, verses 3 to 4 says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask in wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. There is so much of bitterness, hatred, jealousy, unforgiveness in us. How can we carry that? And how can you and I be a light and a salt of the earth if we are going to carry bitterness, hatred, jealousy, unforgiveness? How will we shine the light? How will people see the fruits in us? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control will not come out of you or will not come out of us if we carry bitterness, hatred, jealousy, and unforgiveness. Luke chapter 19, verse 41 to 42 says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Why did Jesus weep over Jerusalem? Because the hearts of the people were far away from him. As Jesus was walking, he preached to them. People gathered. People heard him. People rejoiced when he came at the triumphal entry. But what happened? A few days later, he said, "Crucify him." Jesus' heart was broken. You know, sometimes as a church, we tend to sit on our comfort zones. You know why? Because of the shame, the guilt that we carry. We don't want to go out and share. So what do we tend to do? We sit in our comfort zone and we start reaching the reach, preaching to the preached. But God is preparing our hearts today. He wants you to be a peacemaker. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." God wants to prepare us to go out and tell those people out there who are not experiencing peace. He wants us to go with that peace that he gives you and me, because he has called us to be the peacemakers. We need to go out and share that peace with the lost world. People are lost. They need Jesus. That's why, as I told you when I was walking this morning, I could sense so much of restlessness in the community. People are out there without peace. They don't know who this Jesus is. It's not fair for us to experience that shalom, Jesus, and not for the community and people around us not to experience that shalom until you and I go out and make disciples of all nations, until you and I step out of our comfort zone. People will not know about Jesus, and they need to know this Jesus. Are you prepared to go out and share about him? Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Why did Jesus mention that before he mentioned peacemakers? Because he wants us to get our heart right with him. He wants us to restore our relationship back with him. I do not know if sin has been a barricade for your life, for your relationship with Jesus. God wants to restore it today. He wants to break your heart for what breaks is. I remember during COVID time, during the first wave, I was looking at the number of cases and the number of people dying. I went on my knees and I cried out to God and I said, "God, what is happening? People are dying without peace. People are dying and perishing without knowing you. This is not fair." And I said, "God, create an opportunity for me so that I could go and pray for people in the COVID ward." In India, at this hospital in Andaman and Nicobar Islands, that's where I was for a while. And I made this prayer, and a few weeks down the line, God opened doors for me to go to the COVID ward to share about Jesus. In the beginning, I had a lot of fear. When I come back home after visiting the COVID ward, I would feel as if I have all the symptoms of COVID. I would feel like I'm going to die. But God told me, "You go, I will use you." And never once was I tested positive. But let me tell you, as I went to this COVID ward and I started praying for people, I started seeing there's so much of restlessness inside. People are fearing death because they do not know where they're going to go. You and I know that if we die, we're going to heaven. But people out there do not know if they die where they would go. It gave me an opportunity to connect with them and tell them about Christ. And I thank and praise God for open doors and for all those people. I can't number them or name them, but I thank God for all these people whom I was able to encounter in the time God gave me. And now I'm happy because they are in heaven, rejoicing, praising God. Though they were once lost, they were found, and now they are in peace. How many of us have prayed for our community? How many times have we prayed for people who are lost and broken? How many times have we prayed? This is our time to start praying for people around us and our community. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. They need to experience the shalom. If you look at the statistics of number of suicides every day, it will shake you. People are dying every day, killing themselves because they can't experience this Jesus. The outcome of peace. Our relationship with God is very important. I do not know how you are in your relationship with God or how we are in our relationship with God. But Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." God's peace is supernatural and unexplainable. It is true, it is truly amazing how God can respond and will respond to you during difficult times. You and I can say that without God, we are nothing. Without Him, we cannot do anything. And I've also realized that there are certain situations in my life when I don't put Christ at the center of my life, I am not experiencing peace. Because I have not put Christ at the center of my life, in my marriage, in my walk with the Lord, in my finance, in whatever I do, I need Christ to be the center of everything. And then I can experience peace when He takes over. But when I start doing things without that, without Christ, I won't experience peace. And I can't experience peace. Romans chapter 10 verse 15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." The Lord wants to empower us today with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, before He ascended into heaven, He did something beautiful. He promised the Holy Spirit. And the same Holy Spirit who was in Jesus is inside you and me. And He lives inside us. Jesus said, "You can do even more powerful things, even more than I have done. And I'm giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit." But do we make use of the gifts and talents God has given us to expand His kingdom? God wants to prepare you today. As we looked at Revelation on the beautiful place that God has in store for you and for me, it would be sad to see people who do not know Christ die and perish when we are there in heaven rejoicing. A new Jerusalem. It's not just a return back of the garden. It's a great city where human cultures and all the diversity work together in peace and harmony before God. I like how John described it's a new creation as a marriage of heaven and earth. Heaven is represented as both a city and a bride. Coming down of God's heavenly domain and landing on earth, it is much like Jacob when he saw a dream, when he saw the steps going up to heaven and coming down, when he saw the angels walking up and down. I like how John describes it, the city bride, a new Jerusalem. It's not a new temple. It means there will be no need for physical temple or holy of holies. It's a new creation because the fullness, the presence of God will be felt in every corner. You could feel the presence of God. There is no more death, no more pain, no more suffering. And all the pain that we go through on this earth, our reward is there waiting for us. Once you wake up in the morning and you ask God, where is my relationship with you? How many of us would say that I have a great relationship with God? We all fail. We fail God. We all sin. We all make mistakes. But God wants to work inside us. He wants to rebuild us. He wants to mold us. He wants to shape us. And he wants to make us more like him. God is preparing a place for us. May God, when we see him face to face, look at you and say, good and faithful servant, you have won the race and fought a good fight. And even this morning, as I call upon the music team to come up and play. If you feel that sin is a barricade between you and God, and you want to restore your relationship back with God, this is your time. The Lord wants to prepare you for something great. As I told you, you and I are seated here because God wants to fulfill something through you. And that is why we are alive today, seated here. And God wants to prepare you to go and make disciples of all nations, filling you with the Holy Spirit. May God empower you to reach the lost with the Holy Spirit. If that is you today, and you say, God, I'm sorry. I've gone far away from you. I want to restore my relationship back with you. God, I want to have an intimate relationship with you. I want to fall deeper in love with you. God, I missed that time. I missed that moment. And I want that back again in my life. God, I know I'm a sinner. But the sin has been a barricade in my life with you, oh God. But I don't want that anymore. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. If this is your prayer, and if this is you, I would like you to take a step forward to the altar. The Lord loves you. And this is the best place. The presence of God is the best place to lay everything down at his feet. And say, God, I'm sorry. I want to run back to your arms. I want to come back to you and get myself right with you. The altar is open. If this is your prayer, this morning. Or you could just lift your hands up wherever you are. We just want the Lord to minister to us. And just break us and shape us and make us like Him. Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace this morning. We thank you for your love, your unfailing love, oh God. God, we know we are not perfect. We are not perfect people. We need you to give us peace. We need you, a shalom, to give us that peace. Empower us, prepare us as we go out to share about you. Help us, oh God. And God, if there's anything in our relationship between you, oh God, if sin has come in between, I pray that you remove it and set us free in Jesus' name. We thank you and praise you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray.